Is your garage door still messed up? Still haven't fixed it? Still haven't replaced it? You need to call Discount Garage Doors or visit them online at dgdoors.com. Discount Garage Doors, that's the home of the same-day free service call 7 days a week. They're going to come to your home. They'll give you a free diagnosis, let you know everything that's going on with your garage door. No pressure. They can fix it right there. Or they'll give you a price on new doors, and you're going to get the best competitive price around. That's why they're called Discount Garage Doors. This is a great local company that supports JoeBucksFan.com. Use your JoeBucksFan discount code. Get various discount opportunities on their website at DGDoors.com. Check them out. DGDoors.com, 1-866-420-DOOR. Happy Monday, Bucks fans. Steve Isbitz here, JoeBucksFan.com. This is the Monday Morning Joe podcast presented by Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai, and Discount Garage Doors. Now, yes, last Monday I mailed it in. I pulled a Swaggy Baker. I didn't give the effort. I was not humping a palm tree, thankfully, like Swaggy, but you know, no podcast. After 6 months, I took a day off. That was not the intent, but that's the way it shook out after the Super Bowl. And I'm sure I ruined all of your days. Nobody got through it without this podcast. I'm kidding. I'm being a wise ass here. I appreciate all you listeners. I know I got plenty of people looking for the podcast last week, which is always appreciated to be missed. And I know thousands of you do tune in each week. So we took a day off. It's cool. Not going to happen again. I can't make a promise, but I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen again. Anyway, so that was the deal with that. And there's plenty going on. 30 days now, 30 days we are from the start of free agency. So what does that mean? It means on March 14th, Wednesday, 4 p.m., officially teams can start signing free agents and the new league year begins. 2 days before that, teams can start negotiating with agents and players. Just agents, not players, I believe. Anyway, that's called the tampering period, legal tampering. It's a stupid thing that it's been nicknamed, but that's how it goes down. So we're 30 days away, 30 days away from free agency. And we all know the Bucks need help in free agency and they have plenty of money for free agency. And it's a no-brainer. They have to be a player in free agency, considering one, the desperation of the regime, the desperation of the general manager and coach to come back for another year and to right this ship. And they have holes. When you fail in the draft, you have holes. And the Bucks have holes. So here we are, 30 days. Now, what's the focus? What should be the focus? Well, we're going to talk a lot about free agency leading up to this. There'll be a lot of free agency talk, of course, on the Ira Kaufman podcast, on Bucks Uncensored from Justin Pawlowski, and all the other great podcasts we've got, which actually the only other Bucks-related stuff would be the Free Stretch with Bobby Fenton every Thursday. If you're not listening to that, Bobby's a lot of fun. Give it a shot. Trust me, give it a shot. If it was awful, if it wasn't worth your time, it wouldn't be on the website. So definitely check that out. Justin and Ira, of course, go twice a week. I'm going to start my free agency chatter for the year officially, I guess, now we're within this 30-day window. I'm going to start with running back because the Bucks failed in the draft at running back, right? They drafted Snoop Dogg McPlaybook, Jeremy McNichols. They cut him. That didn't work out. They hope to put him on the practice squad, but he's been with the Niners and actually on their active roster for the second half of the season, and they stuck with him into this coming year so far. So he can't be all bad, but that's old news. They failed in the draft, and they failed in free agency by re-signing Doug Martin. So double failure means you need attention in free agency. So where do they go? And I've mentioned this before, but it's taking shape in a new way for a couple of reasons, because I do a lot of free agency research. A lot of it doesn't show up on the website, but I'm more interested in free agency, frankly, than the draft. Now, I like the draft. It doesn't mean I don't care about the draft, but free agency is really where I put a lot of focus on. One, because it's easier to watch the players. Right? I can go right to NFL.com and pull up any game I want with my game pass for $99 a year. And so I can actually look at the players. I can look at some past years, and there's a lot more out there. And there's people to talk to who Lee DeKemper and I have a lot of sources. We've developed, this is our 10th year covering the league. not only do we know who to reach out to, but we also know who to listen to and who's full of crap and just whatever. Anyway, Carlos Hyde. That's why I'm going to Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde of the Niners, fourth year player. He was a second round pick in 2014, right? Yeah. Second round pick in 2014 out of Ohio State. Good running back. Is he a great running back? No. But is he a very good running back? Yeah. Yeah, he definitely is. And I look at this guy, Hyde, and I see a player who, in part, has been held back by, one, having a crappy team and pretty much a crappy passing offense for most of the time he was there. But 4 years, four head coaches, four offensive coordinators. 4 years, four head coaches, four play callers. There aren't a lot of players who can make that claim in NFL history. And here's Hyde. The last 2 years, very consistent. 950-something yards averaged over the both years. Both years, he was in the 900s. This year, he caught a lot more balls in Mike Shanahan's offense, showed that he could catch the ball and be effective there. He came on later in the season. But Hyde is a good football player. If you also look at some of the analytics, and I'm not talking about Pro Football Focus and some of the baloney of, yards after contact. Well, whenever I hear yak, I want to know what kind of yak, right? Is it just a hand on the butt that's not really contact? Is it a shot? Is it dragging tacklers? I mean, yards after, I hate that stuff for running backs. Anyway, Hyde, if you look at some of the NFL next gen statistics, where they're the ones that track the uniforms and the balls, and there's no subjectivity to it, Hyde looks like a pretty solid running back, but he passes the eye test as well. And he's young. And you know what? He's from Florida originally. Maybe this is a fit. Maybe this is a guy you throw some money at. Because is he going to command super top dollar, the $7, $8 million range? No. But he should get more than your typical the lower paid guys who are good but don't make much money, like LeGarrette Blount or the $2 million range. Maybe he costs you $3.5 million. I don't know. But the Bucs need a solid, capable running back. And I think he's going to have more success here in Tampa. It's a bit better team around him. Offense, anyway, better offense around him. But I listened to Tim Ryan. For those of you who have Sirius XM NFL Radio, if you don't have it, you really should get it. Just because when there's nothing else to listen to, we're talking NFL 24/7, and there's usually an ex-player on, a lot of good takes, ton of interviews. It's just a good time. Anyway, Tim Ryan, the former defensive tackle who used to co-host with Pat Kerwin on that network for years. It was really the best show going when the two of them were on there. Kerwin is the ex-Buccaneers scout, ex-Jets player personnel chief, and their salary cap guy, and he's done a lot of scouting. He was a coach in the league as well, so he's not just a numbers guy. Anyway, Tim Ryan, last week, and I wrote about this, he talked about how Hyde just really sort of earned his place within the team, within the Niners, that he earned his stripes, and he played pretty well, and he thinks the Niners would be wise to bring him back, but they think it might let him test the market because the market's going to be pretty strong for Hyde, and we'll see. Now, Ryan is on the Niners radio network. This is a guy who has seen Carlos Hyde play all of his games. Every single one. He's the analyst on the Niners radio network. He knows Carlos Hyde. Tim Ryan's a straight shooter. That should be a big, strong, feel-good thing for Bucs fans that Tim Ryan's evaluating this guy and saying, you know what? He's earned it. And I just think he's a good fit, good hard runner fit with the Bucs. Now, is he that fast guy you're looking for, that change of pace guy, or that take it to the house guy, or is he Devontae Freeman? No, he's not. But the Bucs need a consistent, powerful running back, a guy who's more of a 1 than a 1A. And I like Peyton Barber a lot. I think the Bucs screwed him by not giving him more chances early, where we could know a little bit more about him right now. But he still appears to be a 1A kind of guy. And I don't want to wait for the Bucs to try to draft a running back that makes sense, because we all know they have not done a good job evaluating running backs. They just haven't done it. They didn't do a good job evaluating their own guy, and they didn't do a good job in a draft class last year that was superior at running back. Now, other teams screwed up too. This is not all bashing of the Bucks and whatever. I'm not being all negative, but sometimes it's positive to recognize what you're not good at. I know what I'm not good at in my life. You probably know what you're not good at in your life. The people around you, you work with, you know what their weaknesses are, and they know where your shortcomings are. Now, the Buccaneers, Jason Light, should be able to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm not good at evaluating running backs. I'm just not too good at it. Dirk Cutter should probably feel the same way. Now, I don't think their egos would allow them to do that, but you know, Light especially over the last 4 years, Cutter, you know, being in this role a couple of years, but still, they haven't done a good job with running back. So let's get an established guy instead of trying to figure out who's good in the draft when you're probably not very good in that area. I like Carlos Hyde. I hope they make a push on him. The more I watch of him, the more I like him. Now, if we want to talk about the rest of the running back, so if you have Carlos Hyde, who complements Carlos Hyde? What else do you do? How else do you fix the position? Well, there's what you could do, and then there's what they are likely to do. And the Buccaneers, I will tell you from pure knowledge, not speculation, knowledge of the situation, they like Charles Sims. They like his versatility. They like him on special teams. They like that he can be a game breaker. They like that he knows all the routes in the offense, and he can run any route if necessary for a depth issue. They like what he does out of the backfield. They like his pass blocking. They like the guy. He's the only player Dirk Cutter called outstanding when evaluating players last training camp. So do I think they'll keep him? Yeah, I do. I really do. I think they'll be happy to. So not a lot of fans like that. We did a poll on JoeBucksFan.com the other day. I think it was 57% wanted to get rid of Sims. 30% wanted him back. And the rest were, they didn't know. And, you know, so it's pretty well split. To me, I would keep Sims. That's just me, a lead heat camper, Joe Bucks fan. He'd probably say get rid of Sims. Ira Kaufman's a Sims fan. So I think we reflect the fan base here. I see what Sims can do. I don't think he's a special player. But you know what? He can do a lot. He's the kind of guy who will win a game a year for you. He's sort of proven that. He'll win one game a year for you with his exceptional talent. Sometimes you need to sprinkle some of those guys in who are just so damn talented they're going to win a game for you. You know, those guys can be pretty good to have on all sides of the ball in all phases. Sims, we'll see. I don't know. Jaquizz Rodgers. Now, there's a Dirk Cutter guy as far as trust, as far as knowing the offense, as far as being a better pass blocker than Sims, as far as a guy who's proven he'll be willing to play a role, keep his mouth shut, and get the job done. That's Jaquizz Rodgers. Look, the guy, I've said it before, the guy got the game ball handed out by coaches for his effort running the football against the Giants early this season, and early last season. Time flies, 2017, last season. He got the game ball and was never heard from again. But did he complain? Nope. They made him the kick returner. They cut Bernard Reedy, who went to the Patriots. They cut him. And who took over as kick returner? Jaquizz Rodgers. He did pretty good, too. They didn't even give him a shot in the offseason to win the job. They didn't even sort of work him into the rotation, practicing it very much. They just gave him the ball because Dirk Cutter knew he could trust him. He did it in Atlanta. So do I think Jaquizz Rodgers comes back? Yeah, I do. He's under contract, and Dirk Cutter likes him. So that leaves, if you sign a Hyde, that brings you back, potentially, Sims, Hyde, Jaquizz Rodgers, and Peyton Barber. Now, is that a special running back core? I don't know. I don't know about that. But I'd rather have that group than gamble in the draft. Because the draft is a gamble. You know, for fun, why don't you go back? I recommend anybody do it. Go back and look. Pick a draft. Doesn't matter. Pick 2012 second round or 2014 second round is a good one. Or 2015 second round is a good one. Go back and look at all the players in the second round. Not a lot of standouts. Not a lot of standouts. There's a lot of busts. A lot of crapshoot going on. So that's the draft, and I don't like that. I don't want to gamble on that. So I'd love to see the Bucs draft a running back. You know, you can always sign a guy like a Charles Sims. You can have a guy under contract like a Jaquizz Rodgers and still sign a guy in free agency and then draft one and then dump somebody you don't want. You know, just because you signed Carlos Hyde doesn't mean you can't draft a running back if the guy you like is there in the third, fourth, fifth round, whatever. And if he pans out, if he looks the part, you can get rid of somebody else. But that's called evaluation. I'd rather have the established guy and do both and go get ones because the Bucs have a serious need at running back. You look at the running games in the NFC South, where do the Bucs rank? Last. But the offense is pretty good. But the running game, last. And that's not a good formula. It's not a good formula, especially for a guy like Jameis. The less pressure you can put on him, the better. I mean, he's done a lot under pressure. He's had a lot of success in the league so far, but he's also had a lot of screw-ups, and he's got a lot to prove. And by NFL scale, by the standard set by the other starting quarterbacks in the league, Jameis is average. And people, a lot of people don't like to hear that, but that's the case. And the more you can put around him, the better he's going to be, the faster he's going to get there. And the running game is really something he hasn't had in 2 years. And when they have run the ball well, the offenses look pretty good. So it's definitely a place of need. Speaking of need, two things come to mind. First would be Lakeland Ford, Lakeland Hyundai, Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai. They are where you want to start your car shopping search. Save hours off the time it takes to buy a car by starting your purchase online. Make your deal with the new DealMaker tool exclusively at LakelandAutomall.com, LakelandFord.com, and LakelandHyundai.com. And don't forget, Bucks fans, when you're at LakelandFord.com, find your lowest price on a new vehicle online, and they only put the lowest price out there. There's no gimmick or anything. And then contact Sean Sullivan, Lakeland Ford manager. He's my friend. He's going to give you an extra $500 off just for letting him know you're a Buccaneers fan, that you listen to the podcast, or you like JoeBucksFan.com. It's an incredible opportunity. Remember, at Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai, that's home of the nationwide lifetime warranty and 1 year free scheduled maintenance. It is a great, great value if you're somebody who buys a vehicle. Nationwide lifetime warranty. There's no gimmick there either. It's a tremendous opportunity. Check out my friends at Lakeland Automall, Ford, and Hyundai. Now, as far as need, probably the biggest need for the Bucs offense is Jameis and DeSean Jackson getting on the same page and having chemistry and looking like a dangerous duo. They just didn't look that way. And the more I go back and watch some of these games and pieces of the games, it's just like, man, it's partially on Dirk Koetter for not figuring out exactly how to use these guys. And when I say that, I mean, okay, Dirk, if DeSean Jackson's open deep and Jameis isn't hitting him, do something else. You got to get the most out of your players. And Dirk didn't do enough there. I think he'd be the first to let you know that. Jameis didn't connect well with Jackson, threw behind him a lot. DeSean Jackson caught a good share of balls that were off target. Some of those are on target. We're looking at a lot more yardage, a lot more production, and a lot more confidence, really, in Jameis. I mean, just think about it. I don't know how many of you have even played sports. It doesn't really matter what the sport is. When you're doing something and you're having some success but not a lot of success, or you're just off the mark, it gets in your head. How could it not? Right? It's like if you miss three jump shots in a row, it starts to get to you. Maybe you're super confident. Maybe you need 8 jump shots in a row to miss, and it starts to get to you. But when something's off, that's when you have to adjust. If you're pitching and you keep throwing the ball high, you just walked a guy in 4 pitches and now it's 3-0. I mean, that's in your head. And a lot of this stuff with Jameis was in his head with DeSean Jackson. It's a different sport. It's different. It takes 2 to tango. I'm not saying that DeSean Jackson necessarily gave a heroic effort on every pass out there and maybe didn't do everything that he could have done. But you know what? I have to give him the least amount of blame for the screw-ups. If I had to break it down, I'd put Jameis and Dirk Koetter right there equally for the whole season of disappointment between Jackson and Jameis, and then DeSean Jackson would shoulder some blame after that. But that doesn't matter now, right? We're on to a new season, and DeSean Jackson jumped on FS1 with Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless, and that's a television show. And you know what? Props to Jackson, who's really one of the smoothest talkers in the league as far as media goes. The guy can handle anything. He's definitely very comfortable in front of the camera, in front of microphones, and he's very real. I've talked to him off camera. He's really the same kind of guy. And a great face of the Bucks, if he got out there more and was more interested in doing that. But anyway, so kudos to him for getting on television where those guys are going to ask him anything and everything. And he knew it coming in. I'm sure there weren't any off-limits subjects. And they touched on everything from Chip Kelly to the gang accusations and some of the stuff that was going on with Kelly with the complaints from African-American players. So it was pretty interesting. But one thing Jackson acknowledged is that he's working more with Jameis this offseason and has a plan to, and they recognize they got to get that timing down. Now, let's be fair, Jackson didn't arrive until March of last year. So he didn't have January and February to work with Jameis Winston last year. So it seems like they're already gotten ahead of the curve. It sure seemed like the quotes from Jackson seemed to imply that he has already worked out a few times with Jameis. And then they're going to be going to Texas A&M, which we wrote about on JoeBucksFan.com a while ago. Jimbo Fisher's now at A&M. Mike Evans has a property nearby. He lives in Tampa. He's there full time, but he's got a place in Texas because he has another child there. His first child lives in Texas, and his mother's there. So they're going to be all working out together. And you know what? These guys are going to get some serious work in before OTAs. Now the question is, for those of you who don't know what OTAs are, spring practices for the Bucks, they'll kick off April 16th. They have to report back. So the question, though, is now, is DeSean Jackson going to show up for OTAs? He didn't make a ton of them last year. Now it's optional, but it's not optional for the guys who don't view it as optional. And that's what this comes down to. DeSean Jackson has to realize that the chemistry's not there with Winston. Winston's 24 years old, and they can have some nice throwing sessions all they want in January and February, and those are all valuable. First week in March, March 15th, you know, get together, a little barbecue, a couple days working out at Texas A&M. That's awesome. Awesome. But there's nothing more valuable than doing it on the Bucks practice field in a more game-like setting, if you will, a more realistic setting. And Jackson's going to have to make that commitment. And I could understand it. It's one thing if he's been playing with Jameis for 4 years and skips OTAs and goes easy in training camp, but that's not the case here. Jackson says he's 100% healthy, that he's got his 100% speed. Jameis is going to be there. Invest the time, guys. Invest the time. Jackson has to realize that his young quarterback needs that confidence. If Jackson is going to have the breakout blow-up year that he wants to have so he can keep making $11 million a year, because after this season, the Bucks don't owe him a nickel. And Jackson knows that if he has an off year with the Bucks this year, they're probably going to cut him, and he's never going to make $11 million again at his age. So there's a lot of money on the table. Hopefully that'll motivate, but I don't know. I don't know. But let's hope this is a great start. Let's toast the fact that Jameis and DeSean Jackson, arguably the biggest problem with the offense last year, that never really came together, combined with the running game that really didn't come together till it was too late. Maybe that's taken a good step to get fixed. So good for them. Good for Jameis for leading the way and taking charge on that. And let's keep our fingers crossed that everything goes well with Jameis with this investigation with Uber, that we still don't have anything new on. We're 2.5 months from when it was announced. You know, there's a lot of people out there who are saying that the NFL is dropping the ball. And I've been leading the way. And it's the only fair conclusion. You know, the more transparent you can be with fans, the more you can care about the fans, the more you're going to be respected. And the NFL, the fans here, Bucks fans in this case, are putting their faith in, or, you know, putting their hope in, let's put it that way, that the NFL attacks this situation quickly so there can be resolution. That's what's fair to the Bucks fans, to get this thing resolved or be worked on as fast as possible so the team knows what it's doing entering free agency in the draft. Now, do they operate differently if they know Jameis might be suspended or not suspended? Probably. And do teammates and potential free agents look at the Bucs differently if they think there's something looming over Jameis's head? I mean, you would hope so. You would hope you're getting a free agent who cares what's going on with the team. I don't want a free agent who doesn't care if Jameis gets suspended. I want a guy who cares. That's what we got last year in Swaggy Baker, guys who don't care. So if you and TJ Ward, if you get, I mean, if I were signing with the Bucks, if I were Carlos Hyde, right, I'll take it back to what I started with. If I were Carlos Hyde, I'd want to know, well, what's the status with Jameis? What's the deal with this investigation? I got some other offers and I want to win. So it should be an issue. And hopefully the Buccaneers and the league can really put their foot on the gas on this thing to try to resolve it. So we have some answers so the team can put its best foot forward. That's really all we want, right? It's all we can ask for as we enter into a new season. Now, sort of the news of the day, the news of the weekend, Jay Hayes finally, after the defensive line coach, Jay Hayes, finally, after the Bucs apparently doing nothing to change their coaching staff, after I believe it was made public that they acknowledged that they re-signed all their coaches for another year. Everybody was being brought back, although we don't know the individual contracts. Now we learn Jay Hayes, defensive line coach, 13 years with the Bengals, is gone. He's let go. And it's February 10th. The good candidates presumably are gobbled up. Every other team has had a chance to interview all kinds of all kinds of potential coaches. Guys have been filling staffs across the league with all the turnover. Doesn't mean there aren't good coaches left, but the Bucs make a move now after letting everybody know that there'll be continuity on the coaching staff. Very strange. Very strange. What do we know at JoeBucsFan.com? We know nothing of substance. We can say, oh, this guy's going to get interviewed or this guy's going to get looked at. As of now, Monday morning, we know nothing. And I'm very skeptical. Jay Hayes, you could insert 10 different maybes here. Maybe they didn't like him in the sense of a new direction when they were sitting down talking about a new direction and new ways they wanted to train some of these guys, talking about maybe drafting two rookies on the defensive line and how they would mold them. Maybe Hayes wasn't on board with certain things. I don't know. Maybe he did something inappropriate. Maybe he clashed with Mike Smith recently or with Dirk Cutter on philosophy or blame or who knows what. I don't know, but it feels like something happened. This doesn't feel like a random thing that some great coach fell out of the sky. It feels like something happened. Did Gerald McCoy go up to management and say, I don't like this guy, and other guys piled on? It's possible. It's possible, but you think they would have known that before, right? They would have known that for a while. If I had to put my best guess, and it is strictly a guess, I'm going to write this up on JoeBucsFan.com later. If I had to guess, I'd say the Buccaneers evaluated their defensive linemen, and they decided to keep Will Golston, who could be cut before the start of the league year, and the Bucs wouldn't really hit any kind of penalty. And same for Robert Ayers. If I had to guess, I'd say they decided to keep Ayers and Golston on the roster as they searched for more defensive end talent. And they looked at that decision and maybe in discussions with Jay Hayes, they decided, you know what? These guys regressed under Hayes, especially Golston. And since we've decided to keep them, why don't we move on from Hayes and see if we can get another fresh set of eyeballs in here to get more out of the guys that we actually have? That would be my best guess. But it feels like something happened. It just doesn't feel like out of the blue. But here it is, out of the blue, and we'll see. We'll see who they bring in. Paul Spicer, who is the assistant defensive line coach, he came in here under Lovie. A lot of people don't remember that. He came in under Lovie Smith. He played under Mike Smith in Jacksonville. He has a lot of respect. Very nice guy, very hard-driving guy. But, you know, most coaches are nice guys and hard-driving guys. So I don't know what his capability is. The Bucs are now going with a young coach, remember, with very limited experience at wide receivers coach in place of Monken. I keep forgetting that guy's darn name. It just drives me nuts. Anyway, it doesn't really matter, though. We'll see. We'll see. But if I had to guess, I'd say Hayes. I'd say that the Bucs decided, you know what, we're going to keep Golston and Ayers, and Hayes didn't get much out of them or clashed with them a little bit. And now that we've made that decision, we're moving on from Hayes. So that's just the crap thrown on the wall for the day. And I'm not going to call it crap. It's just an educated guess. But will the truth come out? Maybe. We'll see. Jay Hayes, if he's getting paid for this year, God bless him. That's the American way, right? He gets a year off. One little Jay Hayes story. Lee DeKemper wrote one. Well, actually, it was something different. But Jay Hayes, I asked him when he got here, I'm like, well, why did you leave Cincinnati? You had such a good reputation there. And remember, when he got here, Cincinnati was a much better team. And Hayes' answer was, I decided I finally had to clear out my garage. It was time to clean out that garage and move out. It was just a wise-ass answer from a guy who's not much of a wise guy like that with media, but he didn't really want to talk about it. So, I don't know. It was strange. It stuck with me. And long ago, I think it was two seasons ago, I actually was out on the town in Phoenix before the Bucks got train wrecked against whatever it was, 41-7. And I rolled into a bar, and there was Jay Hayes sitting there having some cocktails and having a... He wasn't dancing or doing anything weird, but you know, I was a little surprised. And I know coaches don't have curfews, but it was kind of late, especially for an East Coast guy. You know, 3-hour time difference and all. But I'm not going to blast the guy for having a drink before a game. I'm sure that has nothing to do with why the Bucks lost. But Jay Hayes, nice guy, experienced guy. Yet another person in the long, 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 long line of defensive line coaches for Gerald McCoy, which is... It's a historic, lengthy list, starting with Todd Wash, who ironically, Wash, who was the D-line coach when Gerald McCoy was drafted, Wash is now the defensive coordinator, the architect of that nasty, nasty defense in Jacksonville. So he's gone on to great success, and he survived the Gus Bradley regime in Jacksonville, and they kept him on, and he cracked some whips, and he's a well-respected guy. He'll probably be a head coach one day, Todd Wash. So McCoy's had it all from all different angles. They keep changing coaches on him. It's a long list. And it's, I don't know, just adds to McCoy's polarization here, whatever's going on with McCoy and the fans and people who love him, people who hate him, people who don't believe in him, people who think he's a fraud, people who think he's darn good. That's just Gerald McCoy. Let's see. I wanted to get to touch on the Jason Light video that came out. You know, all of a sudden the Bucks raise ticket prices, and then a video pops up. It's Jason Light looking a little bit uncomfortable, saying, you know, we love you fans, and we respect the season pass holders, and we drafted good young players, and they hate to lose, and I hate to lose, and we're going to do whatever we can. The video was okay. I mean, it would have been nice if they redid it and had Light look a little bit more comfortable and confident and inspiring. But, you know, he's just not the most comfortable guy with the media. And I think because of that, it came across as, more talk. What is this garbage? A lot of people were really frustrated. But you can't win as an executive in that situation. I think you're always going to get people saying, enough with the hot air. Just win some damn games. And Light fell into that deeply, also because the video wasn't very inspiring. But it's just a video, and you know, I know that really got under some people's skin, but I get it. If you're a season ticket holder and you're paying more money and now you're getting more lip service, as my dad would call it, it's not the best feeling in the world on that. All right, well, hey, Monday Morning Joe is back, and two things. One, if you subscribe to the podcast, that means you go to iTunes or Podbean or your whatever platform you're on, and you can usually just click subscribe. And sometimes you can request an automatic download, or sometimes it's just an alert when the new podcast posts. That's a great way to be alerted to the podcast, because I put it up at different times on Monday, sometimes late, sometimes early. The goal is always early. And so we appreciate those of you who do that. It's a nice way to be reminded. Otherwise, like most of you do, listen right on the website. And don't forget, visit Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford, and Hyundai, and Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com. 7 days a week. Remember, dgdoors.com. They're going to come out to your home. They cover 18 Florida counties. Great local company. And LakelandFord.com, LakelandAutoMall.com. I was there a couple of weeks ago. They're always exceeding expectations at Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford, and Hyundai. As far as the podcast coming next, there'll be plenty to talk about. There always is with the Bucks. Going to be diving deeper into free agents. One guy I mentioned this week, wrote about, was Caleb Sturgis. He's the kicker, right? Eagles kicker who was good kicker, strong kicker. They had no problem with their kicker, although they drafted one in the fifth round. And you know what? Sturgis got hurt this year after week one. He was 3 for 3. He won the job from the highly tattered rookie. He won the job. He got hurt in week two, and the other guy comes in, and you know what? He wins the Super Bowl, and he was a good kicker. So now Sturgis is going to be on the market, free agent. He's a good kicker. Patrick Murray has not proven to be a winning kicker. There's no way they'd have to be a moron to let Murray not compete. You're not going to gift Patrick Murray the job. He was 2 for 5 from long distance. That's not good. His longest was 50. That's not good in the modern NFL. I like Sturgis, 28 years old, 29 years old. He's got experience. Put him in there. Get it. Sign him up. Pay the money. We don't need to hold on to the darn money. We need a good kicker, especially the way Dirk Cutter operates. And you need a good kicker. And do you trust the Buccaneers to draft a good kicker? To find a kicker where you're supposed to find one? Sixth round, seventh round, fifth round, undrafted? Do you trust the Bucs to do that? I'm going to leave this podcast at that. Keep visiting JoeBucksFan.com. I'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody.